Hey guys, it's Editing Caitlin. We recorded this over a month ago. Come to your own conclusions. But yeah, there's some choppy edits here. I was in the car. I apologize for that. And welcome back, season two. We're going to delve into some more. We wanted to start each episode by saying that we do delve into some pretty heavy content here. So this is your trigger warning. We get into domestic violence, sexual abuse, financial abuse, covert control, overall domestic abuse in a general sense in most episodes. If we do delve into something too deep, we will let you know before we do so. So you will get an additional trigger warning. But we wanted to start each episode by saying, look after your mental health. And if it's not worth it today, don't listen to the episode. Hello.
Hello, I'm in the car.
Okay.
Hello. What can you say to the people?
What I can say?
Well, I don't know. Do you want to say anything?
I don't know. I think there's a lot to say.
There's a lot to say. Welcome back.
Welcome back. There's a little bit too much to say.
God, where do we begin?
Well, let's start with the fact that we've been on different time zones.
Right. Like, we explained that, I think, in the last episode where we were like, fucking us.
Yeah. I think so too, that we were...
I listened to our last episode, so we were 2 hours further out of whack than we usually are, and usually we record very early morning, very late night for Naomi, so it made it middle of the night for her, which was the only time without kids and all of that stuff that we had time together, so it wasn't working.
Yeah, not at all, not even a little bit.
But also, you know, life goes on and things like that.
Yes. Definitely. So, yeah, well, I'm about to have a baby. And I don't think we talked about that at all.
How many weeks are
you having? I am currently 35 weeks.
35.
I don't know, how do you do it?
It doesn't matter. No one who's not pregnant cares. I know,
yeah, that's
pregnant,
true.
It seems very, very, but like even in the 30s would have worked.
Yeah, because some people are like, oh, you're in week 35, and then some are like, oh, you're in 36, and I'm like, okay, I don't know.
It's such a mess, but you are about to have a baby. And
yes, literally about to have a baby. I'm very far along. I'm like at the end of it all.
And I think maybe we recorded one or two episodes when you're in the early stages, but she has been beyond sick the entire time and really hasn't been able to focus on much apart from growing this baby. And so...
yeah.
A number of factors, but Naomi's having a baby and it's the best news ever.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely. That's good news. That's like the good stuff happening in life.
Yeah.
So how about you tell me, because you said you heard our final episode.
Yeah.
Let's do this as like season two, getting back to it all, or how, like, updating on how life is going and what's happened. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that's happened since we spoke last.
I think this
not
is
since
this.
You and me spoke, because we speak.
I think this is more of the aftermath.
Yeah, we haven't even been to that. Like, there's so much stuff that from like way back that we haven't talked about, and there's like so much new stuff that's happened.
Yes.
But the last episode you heard, that was a good idea. I should have listened to it as well.
I only listened to a bit of it, but it was about the overstaying of visas and...
Yeah. I think we have covered a lot, but
we have
as time passes...
Yeah, and as time passed by, you remember more things, and you don't. I don't want to say that I don't care, but to a certain degree, I don't care anymore. Like I'm so over it that I want the good stuff in life, and I hate that he ruined so much. And I have days where I'm like messaging Caitlin, and I'm like, why doesn't he take responsibility? And I'm so fucking angry. And but it's no, there's no more fear in that sense, and
No
I'm still going to treatment.
yeah, and I'm in therapy and that's going well.
Yeah, you're in therapy as well, and I'm so glad that you are.
Yeah,
And
because I'm learning so much.
yeah, we're just moving on with life, and we're not forgetting about any of it. We're like, I think we're learning to live with it, because you can never forget it. It will always be there. It will always be a part of me.
Yeah.
But I'm learning to live with it, and I'm letting it be a part of me, but not in like a negative way. I'm focusing more on the good stuff and the positive stuff, and I'm about to have a baby, and yeah, fuck him, kind of. But then again, yeah.
And it also like we like both have now beautiful families, and he will never have that. And part of like, want to yell and scream. I have days where I want to mess be like, you fucking piece of nothing. Like I have so much anger, but like the best revenge is his life is fucked, and he has to, and hopefully forever. But he doesn't. Doesn't have anyone around him who loves him. He doesn't have kids that he can,
He's
create
gonna be
and have a
alone.
happy home with. He will never
Yeah.
have that, and he doesn't deserve
He will be miserable and alone for the rest of his life. And I'm
right.
not saying he's not gonna get a new girlfriend, because
He probably already has.
he probably already has, but I think he's getting to the age where it's like probably one of the last ones, where after this relationship, he's not gonna be able to do it again. Because then he's getting too old. He's already getting too old.
Well, what's interesting, a good friend of mine, I could tell that her partner was an artist, right?
Yeah.
They had this thing where they'd been together when they were young, like at for ages, like around 18, and they'd gotten
Yeah.
pregnant and things, and he had convinced her to turn and then they both they broke up and he left her for someone else I was thinking. And they both lived their lives or whatever, had kids, all of that. And then met up later in life just by happenstance that he manipulated her back. And she was like, oh, she would tell me these stories of when oh, and I saw him again. It's just like butterflies. And one thing that I've learned in the last, years, is that butterflies, when a woman feels butterflies, that's a warning trauma response. You shouldn't feel that way for men. That's like your flight response. When you're with a man, you should feel calm, safe, pure. And
Yeah.
so, like, I could tell, and you could tell, right? Like it was all about him, and the way that she acted around him was different. She owned her own house, and he owned his, and they were living together. And I was a real estate agent, and I sold her house for her. And then she paid off whatever in his house. Anyway, she calls me the other day, and she's like, I think like it's all coming to a head, right? And I said
Yeah.
to her, like, listen, I know it's not good, and when it's like so much info, basically, what happened was he was with a girl locally before my friend financially used the fuck out of her. And then he somehow, like, she cleaned the entire house, was never on the title. And then when they broke up, and he went back to Canada, and somehow he got her to sell her house. He had a mortgage on his house of like 400 grand, even though this other girl had paid it all off. So Karen paid the mortgage off, and then he never put her on the title.
On the new house?
Yes. And then it was like all of this stuff, and like he was manipulating her and giving her stories. And then when it all came to a head, and she was like, I don't want to do this anymore, and I want to get out. And I was like, I gotcha. Like, girls, like, somehow we just know who's been through this. Like, if I find someone, like my CEO, when I was like, I've got to leave my husband, and she helped me, it was the same sort of thing when she called me and didn't have to explain it. I was like, yep, I've got to stay at my parents' beach house, like, whatever you need, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she just knew.
She just knew. And, well, what turns out is he never... So we got a lawyer immediately.
She
went and put a caveat on the property showing her receipt where she paid off 400 grand of the mortgage.
Smart.
Yes. So now the property cannot be sold from underneath her because it shows that she paid for it.
And yeah.
Then he wrote her like this fake legal letter in like six different fonts that he copied and pasted. Like, okay, here are our options. Let's do this cheaply. Let's not get a lawyer involved because he wants to manipulate, right?
Of course.
And he is like, he called me and sent me a letter. And I was like, well, none of this adds up legally. And he's trying to get you, he's trying to get as much money out of you as possible so he can hook the next girl. Like, that's all that's happening. He needs enough money to love bomb until she can look after him. The same with you, right? I'm sure he was, like, giving lots of gifts and stuff in the beginning. But he was.
Yeah, in the beginning, yeah. He had a lot of cash in the beginning.
Yeah, so I'm like, and this is exactly what he did to the girl before, because when I was selling, at one point he put his house up for sale. They wanted to maybe, like, she just sold her house and had all this money, and before she paid off his, obviously she didn't know he owed all this money on it. She was like, well, why don't you sell yours and we could buy, like, a big fuck-off house, you know?
Yeah.
And so he was, like, going along with that until I had...
You're in the bad spot.
But when I first put his house up on the market, I got phone calls from like six of his ex's family members, like, we can't sell that house, like, she owns that house, I don't know, all of this stuff, and it was really weird. And and I was like, I told them that, like, I'd gotten phone calls, and he like, oh, she, you know, my crazy ex, whatever. And
did you believe him, or did you sort of in the back of your head believe her?
I believed her, but I knew that the way that these people operate is like, I can't just be like, I would have put Karen in danger. Like, it's almost to wait until they're ready and then you can help them out. But until then, you almost have to also keep the peace for them. I don't know if I was.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do.
Was it before Dick or after Dick for you?
Oh, this is like now.
This is now. Yeah. You said she called you the other day. This is now. Okay, so it's obviously it's easier for you to catch on because you know a narcissist when you see one. But then again, you also know.
This was all before I was a mum when I was, like, selling their house and stuff. So all of that, I think I knew he was bad, but I hadn't done any work yet, and I didn't know how to act around. My boss was at the time was actually similar, and I think I had like a trauma response, and like I should have got that commission. He owed me like thousands of dollars, but like I got scared. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, but you still hadn't processed dick yourself. So there's probably some sort of trauma response there as well, because he's acting in a similar way as dick, you know? And your body and your mind just react a certain way to that treatment.
Yes, and all I knew was like,
go along with it.
Just make sure Karen's good. So like if she needed to leave an event, like, yep, I've got you and I will make the excuses for you. Like, no one else does, but
yeah, whenever she's ready, that's when you can
she was ready,
that's when you can step in.
Yeah, she knew I was safe because I'd never negative about him to her. I just was supportive of her. So
I'm so glad she had you.
Oh my god, me too. So basically he writes her this letter like, hey, let's do this as cheaply as possible. I don't want us to spend all of our money on lawyers, like all of this stuff, which is like pure manipulation of like, if you own two properties, you're so dumb to separate without lawyers. Like the only reason that you would do that is because you don't want lawyers involved because you're trying to like fuck the other person over.
Yeah.
So he's like written these two offers, like you can live in the house for the next 3 years while the kids finish school and all of this. And I was like, what? I was like, no. And so I just told her to write that there's a caveat on the property and I've retained a lawyer, full stop, like period.
Yeah.
Done. And that's all you write. And so
did they end up having kids together or no?
No, thank God.
No. Okay, that's good.
But he has kids and she has kids. And she has like this one young boy who's maybe 13 now, and I just love him. And he's like close to our family, and he, you can see the freedom in his face.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like he's gone. And we got the locks changed. We, all of the neighbors, like, it's so interesting what people know, and they, like, there is nothing you can do, right? So there's no blame there. But, like, she was like, I don't know, it feels like the neighbors are watching me. I was like, they probably are. They're probably worried about you. Like, they've probably heard fights. They've probably, like, they have, you know, and it's a small little community. They've seen a locksmith show up. And he was coming in and out of the house the first couple of days because he threatened the breakup, right? And I was like, call his bluff. You don't want to be with him tomorrow. Like, this is it. Done then. Thank you. Breakup. Then the messages start. He's like, oh, it's like textbook, Naomi. He was like, hey.
Yeah.
We can talk about this if we want. I think we could both work on our communication a bit. Like,
yeah, let's be grown-ups.
Yeah. She's like, wouldn't respond. And then he was coming in and out of the house. Like, he left an iPad on the front step, like, placed on the doormat at the front door. Like, it wasn't dropped. It was placed there. And then 2 hours later, once she got home, he would message and be like, did I leave my iPad there?
Ugh.
Yeah. And I was like, don't even respond. Do not reply to him. And the only response she did was that one where he sent the letter and she said, there's a caveat on the property. I've retained a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then she was saying, you know, and she said something about his ex, and I said, let me tell you, I said, if you were to call that ex, you guys would have identical stories. Said, you think? And I said, yeah. And I said, and you know that he's out there saying to everyone the exact same things about you. That
yeah, she's tell, crazy.
Yep, that he could tell you about her.
Yeah, 100%.
And so she jumped on her Facebook page quickly while we were on the phone. And she was like, oh my God, because she was like sharing stuff, like quotes about narcissists, like a narcissist doing this and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm telling you, you should call her. And I told her, like, Naomi reached out to me and this whole story. And she was like, oh, my God. So she did call her.
Yeah.
And identical stories.
Of course it was.
And actually what's great is that that first ex also has a receipt of where she paid off the property. And so now they both have a caveat on the property, and God willing, they can split it between the two of them.
Yeah.
But he's fucked, and he, I think, is starting to realize, oh, shit.
He's really fucked this time.
This time, yep, because he got away with it with the last time. He probably wrote her a similar letter. He was like, okay, we'll go with this, and just scare her into it. And not even scare, over with. And you know what is also so interesting is right towards the end when she was, the trauma bond was lifting and she was like, oh, when he'd try and have sex with her. And you know that stage where you just hate them at the end?
Yes.
He was started to get very sick.
Of course he was. How could I have guessed it?
Yeah, really, really ill, the poor darling.
Yeah, man flu's the worst.
And they just get terminally ill as you're leaving.
It's and it's like, it's not even man flu. Like, what was it? How he got sick? During COVID. So it was like, he had COVID, obviously. Of course he had COVID.
Of course.
And then on top of it, it was something with his eyes and he could go blind. And I'm like, what? Since when? Like, he legit was telling me that he could... Oh, yeah, he called it something. Like a health issue. Like, certain people get it, some people don't. And he needed a doctor in Australia because in Norway there was shit. So he was so happy to be in Australia because he got the help he needed, because he could have gone blind. And I'm like, what?
He was saying something about his eyes, and I was like paying for this apartment for him to live in. And he was like, it's just dusty. And I was like, well, vacuum it. Like, he wanted me to come and vacuum the apartment.
Yes, it was the dust because his eyes were hurting. They were just so runny. And it was the exact same thing with me. Like, oh my God. Like, it's like, sounded like he had cancer on his eyes.
Yes.
What a stupid thing to do. Like, why? Oh.
Yeah.
It's like the last way out, but they have to be like really sick, like almost like terminal cancer. But it can't be, because if you take them back, they magically get better.
Yes.
So, like, it has to be terminal, but not really terminal.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I took him back, it would have been a miracle that his eyes just got better.
Yeah, a miracle. I remember when I was leaving and I was, like, trying to, and he's like, why, right? Like, and I'm like, I've left, like, 3 times.
Yeah, why not?
At the apartment that I'm fucking looking for.
And
he's like, why can't we make it work? And I was like, we don't even have sex. Like, okay, it's like, I was like, I didn't know I was being abused. I couldn't put it into words. Like, I was like, I'm walking on eggshells. I feel like I'm acting all the time. And we don't even have sex. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry that I've been sick for the last couple of months. And I was like, no, we haven't had sex in like 5 years.
Since we got together.
It's not that you've been sick for the last 3 weeks while I was trying to leave that we haven't.
Yes. That's not even the issue, but he thinks so. He thinks that's the issue.
Oh
my God. Yes.
Is that one gorgeous lady who we've spoken about a bit on the podcast, Dick's ex-best friend's partner, has found the podcast, I assume, via Dick's ex-best friend. And we were messaging something about entirely separate, and she was like, I listened to the podcast and I was screaming and yelling and swearing the entire thing. And I felt good that she heard it, and I apologized to her about what a shitty friend I was in some scenarios during that time, because I was just getting through the day. I just wanted to acknowledge, I guess, that she had listened to the podcast, and thank you for being such a support during the time, and I love you, and there's nothing you could have done, and that's it about that. But anyway,
but it's important to remember, we've talked about it before as well, the friends we had back then. We were
not good friends.
No, we were not good friends because we were busy surviving. And I know some of the friends I had back then, and most of them I'm still friends with, but it's they could tell something was wrong, but there's nothing you can do about it. So you can't blame yourself, and I don't want her to blame herself either. I should have known, I should have done something. You just gotta know, at the time you were surviving, and there was nothing she could have done, because you weren't reachable.
Brings me back to the my friend Karen, which you won't care if I use her name, I already have. But when she was like, I feel like the neighbors are watching me, and I was like, well, they probably are. And she was, when the locks changed, so the locksmith came in and out, and then one of the neighbors was in his garden or whatever, and he came over and chatted to her and was like, if you need anything, this is my mobile number, you come knock on the door if he shows up, we're keeping an eye. And
they knew,
and there's nothing they could do, but it is amazing. And even everyone in the community, he went to go talk to an accountant. We live in obviously a small rural area, so everyone knows.
Yeah. Him.
But that accountant listened to his story, and she was like, don't sound right to me. So she went to Karen, and this was before it had all blown up. He could tell she was planning to leave.
Yeah.
So he went to go chat. And so the accountant said to Karen, I think you're being financially abused, and if you need to talk to me, you just let me know.
Yeah.
So it's obvious. And I think even more today, Karen was like, I didn't even know what financial abuse meant when this accountant was like, I think you're being financially abused. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, it's unfortunately more common than people realize. But I think people are seeing it and understanding it more today.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's not a lot of talk about it, but there's still some talk about it. There's more than what it used to be. So it's easier to see it as well, but it's so much harder to know what to do about it. I almost want to make an episode where we do a deep dive of what happens to the victims in Norway versus in Australia, or even America, because I've listened a lot to the What Was Wrong podcast. Something Was Wrong podcast. And there's so many of them where they just don't get an end. There's no, I feel like it, they just get away, just like Dick. Dick never has to think about me ever again. And there's no consequence for him whatsoever. There kind of is, but there kind of isn't. There is a consequence if he's ever to do it again and that person reports him.
Because now, or if the listeners don't know this. The listeners don't know.
Yeah, because we haven't. Yeah, because we haven't talked about it. But yeah, we like. half a year ago when we were still recording, we were talking about how my case got, I didn't have to go to jail and all of that. We talked about all of that, but I still had a case against him.
Right.
And during the summer, they, what is the word for it?
Close the
Like
case.
they're, yeah, they closed the case. Like they're not doing anything about it. And I'm not saying that they're not doing anything about it because they're not, but they've investigated as much as they can. But he's not in Norway. He's in Australia. He's like far, far away, and it's gonna cost
The taxpayer.
Norwegian. Yeah, but it's gonna cost the taxpayers a lot to get to him in Australia, and he's not even a Norwegian citizen. But it's registered on him in Norway, and the Norwegian police has also been talking to the Australian police. So
The
the Australian.
AFP for people listening, because there's different branches. The Australian Federal Police, which is like the American, like it's not state police, it's a federal whole country. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so that means like Australian government knows that he's reported in a different country.
As an abuser. So if there was a girlfriend who wanted to escape in the future and she ever did go to the police,
Yes, they could tell, they could see that, okay, this is not the first, he's never been punished, so they can't say that this has happened before. But he has been reported before, which means that if he has a new girlfriend and she sh reports him and whatever, then my name is there and they can contact me to like tell my story or like to like give more information to see similarities. Basically, the same thing as I did with you, kind of, where I wanted you to.
yeah, it's to establish a pattern of behavior.
And your name is also in there. And if you were ever to consider or decide that you wanted to report him as well, because that's something that we've talked about privately, and you get to share that whenever you want to, if you ever want to, but we're not going to talk too much about it until you're ready. But even then, there's still a report that. This, I've already reported him. So he's never going to be punished in my case. He's
No.
never going to
But
get a
you
fine.
can't actually come to Norway anymore, right?
He
Oh,
can come to Norway, but they would, I don't think it's going to be as easy anymore.
yeah.
But once you have. Once you're legally here, you're legally here, kind of, so he can come back because he's he don't he doesn't have to apply again.
Right. Yeah, he's already.
So he's not a Norwegian citizen, but he's like allowed in the country, but he has to. I don't think he ever like told the government that he moved out of Norway, and I don't think he's ever gonna. But yeah, I don't even know what it because the thing is, if I was to leave the country, I would have to let the government know that I'm not going to live in Norway anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah, but he doesn't do stuff like that.
No, he doesn't do stuff like that, but they must know because I reported him and they know that he's in Australia. And he's like admitted that, I live here and one day I want to come back to Norway and whatever. I think the whole thing that he wants to come back to Norway, I think that's bullshit. I don't, there's nothing for him in Norway. Like he, back in the day when you guys came, he had his ex-best friend here. He knew some people. He was able to get a job. There was stuff for him here. But right now, he's burnt all his bridges in Norway, And I think he's also worried about the fact that I actually reported him and he doesn't know 100% what that means. So, like, the total of it, I think it's just bullshit that he's saying he wants to come back to Norway, because I don't think he's ever gonna wants to come back to Norway, but in reality, I don't think he will, because there's nothing here for him.
No. The only reason he would go back to Norway is if you would get back with him, and he knows that's not happening now.
That ship has sailed. Not in... Never. Ever. And, like, never say never, but with this, never, ever. Like, over my dead body. Like, I'd rather die.
Yep.
Not gonna happen. I don't care what he says. I don't care if he becomes a millionaire, wins the lotto, whatever. If he's dying of eyeball cancer, I don't care. You go have a good life. I don't care. Like, I couldn't care less for this pathetic excuse of a human being. Like, if he's dying out of eyeball cancer, like, I wish you luck. I hope you do.
I wish him well. You know that?
I wish.
Do you know that Trump? Okay, first of all, just obviously Trump's a piece, but, like, I hate him. Hilarious. And there's this interview where he's talking about, like, what do you think about Ghislaine Maxwell? You know, like the Jeffrey Epstein lady?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like at a golf hole and he's like, I wish her well, and then like tees off the golf thing, and it's just like such a rich person, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not even listening to what you're saying. Like, someone's like,
yeah,
what do you think about Ghislaine Maxwell? And he's like, I wish her well. That's me with Ruddock. I'm not even listening. I mean, that's me with Dick.
Yes, that's you with Dick. Not even listening. Yeah, same. Like, 100% the same. Like, I wish him well. I hope you can do this.
Yeah, he's such a piece of shit.
Yeah, like, I don't think there is a bigger piece of shit. Unless you're, like, same as him, then you're just as big as just as big of a piece of shit as him. Like, it's not even, like, him and Donald Trump, they're just the same. Like, we've compared them before, yeah, but, like, course. Yeah, well, dick for president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when, and I don't know if we ever mentioned this, but I just, like, I keep thinking that I never told, like, did I ever mention that he made me sleep on the floor? Like, I had to sleep on the floor.
I remember us talking about it, but I don't know if it was, like, the podcast or not, because we had a conversation where we were, like, sleeping on the floor because of the back pain, and you said something about it, and I'm like, oh my god, same, you know? But that was, like, the early days. I don't even know. I don't even think it was the podcast.
So, like, if, like, in the beginning, when I would, like, anyone has regular back pain, so when you're just, like, thinking about, like, oh, my back hurts today.
Not my poor Caton.
Poor Caton. First of all, it's because I'm not standing correctly. So
yes.
With my chest up and my shoulders back.
And yes.
If my muscles hurt at the end of the day, that was a really good sign.
Yeah, stand up straight, Caton.
He would, like, hit my stomach and say that I looked fat, or he would, like, tap me and I would go stand up.
But you're not fat. You're skinny fat.
125 pounds, less than 60.
That's skinny fat. Like, skinny I can tell fat. You're skinny, but you have fat. A bit of a pouch.
Yeah, Dick would say skinny fat.
Skinny fat.
So, so the first thing, like, with back pain is, like, obviously, like, the way that you're standing, and then suddenly you're just you have to stand, or he will call you fat or hit you, not in a way that you will be hurt, but still it is some form of physical control. Then like, he would talk about, like, how, you know, sleeping on a flat surface, sleeping on a hard bed, sleeping on the floor is good for your back. just in like general, nothing to do with me, just in general, that would be mentioned often. Like, that would be the beginning of any rule, would be like him just bringing it up to talk about it, right? Like, his view on something. Are you still there? Fuck.
I was worried, but it wasn't gonna... Yeah.
Okay. So saying, like, he would bring up how good it would be to sleep on, like, a flat surface, a hard surface. And that's how any rule would sort of begin, would be, like, he would talk about it in a general sense and continue to bring it up, and then it would be enforced upon me. So, like, with the standing up thing, he would say, in the beginning of our relationship, when he was telling me how perfect I was, he'd say that he always hates women who stand that way, blah, 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 blah. But never that I was standing the wrong way.
No.
And it became that I had to be sitting at the table in a certain way or standing in a certain way, or there were consequences.
Yeah, yeah. It was like slowly, like super slowly. And it was like with everything, like in the beginning when you're perfect, like, then your body is perfect and everything is perfect and you're perfectly trained and you're perfectly toned and everything's great, and then, like, all of a sudden
you're skinny
all
fat.
You're here is like you're skinny fat,
yeah,
and like and it's so hard to explain, like, when the shift was, because you know, but then at the same time you just don't know, like, it's...
He would start, I'm trying to think, like, so he would start, don't stand like that, it makes you look fat, and you're not fat.
Yes.
But it makes you look fat.
Yes. Yeah, you're 100% right, he did say that.
And then it would progress to, don't stand like that, skinny fat, what are you, and then it was like, oh, you look skinny fat, and you're fat, 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 fatty, boomba, 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 even though you'd weighed less than you had it. Even though you weighed less than when you met him, and I was only allowed to eat 1,200 calories a day, and he would check my food diary.
Yes. 100%. He forced me to eat vegan.
Yeah. So with the sleeping on the floor thing, I think one night in Poland, so we just left, I just became isolated. Which, by the way, I have to say one other thing, which I don't know whether I said, is my mum knew, right, that she knew there was nothing she could do. And
yeah.
And when they dropped me at the airport, she gave me, like, a present, a book. And in the front of it, it said, like, something really nice and grounding. Like, I don't know, but something in the sense of, like, I'm always here. You know, like, it was a message in, like, no matter what, I got you, you know?
Yeah.
And without saying a thing, and she handed it to me as we were saying goodbye. And I said, thank you, and we left them. And then I immediately opened it, and he threw it in the bin. He was like, we're done.
No.
He was like, well, you don't need them anymore, or we're done with that, or, like, it's you and me against the world now, babe, or whatever. But I remember not even being able to keep the one thing that was, like, someone saw what was happening and wanted to let me know it was okay, and he immediately didn't let me. Okay, so we leave.
It's okay, take your time.
Yeah. We leave and we're in Poland, and now I have no one and I can't speak the language. And I said my back hurt, I think from the gym, or, you know, just I had regular back pain, like, oh, my back hurts a little bit. I wasn't even complaining. And he was like, you should sleep on the floor and it'll help just for one night. And I'm just like, okay. He's like, you know, like, hear that, blah blah blah, like all that, like sleeping on a blah blah blah, it's so good for you. So I did, and then in the morning he was like, don't you feel better? And all of his questions were leading. Like, there wasn't like, how do you feel? It was, don't you feel better? And the answer had to be yes.
Yeah, yeah, you knew what to answer.
It couldn't be an open-ended question. It was a question where he told me which answer to say, always.
And you had to thank him. And yes. You had to make sure that
he knew it
was all thanks to him.
Thank you so much. You are so right. You were so right. That did help.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, like, your back didn't even hurt that much.
No.
He did. The thing is, he.
Oh, that hurt a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. He did the same thing to me. And, like, the funny thing is that the first time he did it, was also in Poland, like on holiday, like we were sleeping on the floor, but he made it a thing, like he complained about his back hurting, like, oh, my back is so sore, oh, it's from traveling, my back this, my back that, and when you hear somebody constantly complaining about their back, then you're like, oh, my back is kind of sore as well. Because you start thinking about it.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm kind of sore from traveling as well. He's like, oh, your back hurts too? And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really hurt. But it's a bit sore, like you said. He's like, oh, we should sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, he's like leading me to tell him, like, my back hurt. So that he can tell me we can sleep on the floor. So that I can thank him for being the greatest boyfriend ever for taking such good care of me, letting me sleep on the floor because my back hurt. But it didn't even hurt.
No, nor it's. And also, I don't know that. I think that might be a wives' tale. I don't know that that's even fucking true. But what happened was that I, in America, only ever slept on the floor. And he slept in a bed.
You slept on the floor and he slept in the bed.
Yeah.
Because your back was hurting.
Because I wasn't at that point allowed to not sleep on the floor.
Jesus fucking Christ. Nah, he never did that to me. Like, but he made me sleep on the floor one night.
I was with him for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And it gets progressively worse every day. So if you had been with him for 2 more years, you would have been sleeping on the floor too.
Yeah. I think I told him, though, like, yeah, sure, my back feels okay, but I'm going to sleep. But, like, I have, like, this memory from Poland. We were in the Sky Tower.
Yeah.
And we were on, the 50th floor or whatever, like, super, super high up. And he wanted us to sleep on the floor so badly. Like, so badly. And then I agreed to sleep one night on the floor. And then after that, he wanted to continue. And I'm like, I'm not paying for the fucking Sky Tower to sleep on the floor. Like, I can sleep on the floor at home. Like, I'm fine, thanks. I'm going to sleep in this fucking comfy hotel bed at the top floor of the Sky Tower. Like, I'm great, thanks. I think I got, like, I have this memory of, like, I got so annoyed with him for trying to, like, force me to sleep on the floor. And I'm like, my back doesn't even hurt. Your back hurts. Like, my back is fine. You sleep on the floor. If your back hurts, you sleep on the floor. And then it's like, but we do stuff together, babe.
Together.
We do it together.
If
we're a team.
I have to sleep on the floor, then you do. Yeah, it's always a team when it's him, but when it's you. It's
yeah. Him. When it's you, it's you. But when it's him, it's us. We're a team. We've got to be on the same page. Always on the same fucking page. His page. Oh. Yeah, but I think I just told him off. Like, I'm not paying thousands to stay in the Sky Tower. Like, I remember even at the Hilton. He's like, sleep on the floor. I'm not staying at the Hilton to sleep on the floor. No thanks. No thanks. Like, I'd go to a fucking motel then.
Yeah.
Like, if my back doesn't get better from sleeping in the bed when I'm, like, at the Hilton Hotel, like, then my back's fucked and I'm never gonna get better because these are amazing beds.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, and 100%, you were just like,
it's just a wife's tale.
It's just a wife's tale.
Yeah.
So, like, and so when people are like, why did you leave? And you're like, I was focusing on standing up straight. Like, I
couldn't think
out of the moment I was in right then, making sure that I wasn't hurt.
Yeah, you don't even think about leaving. It's like, the leaving is always there. It's always there.
It's always there. I would constantly think about it.
But you don't think about it. You think about it, but you don't think about it. It's like you're surviving. You don't think about it
in a real way. Until someone is in a safe place and is able to help you.
Yes.
And you're ready.
Yeah. And once you start thinking about it, like really think about it, then you can't think of nothing else.
Yeah.
Like then it's like.
Yes. Then that time. You're just.
That's like. Yeah. I remember like being in a space where like all I was thinking was, I need to leave. I hate him so much. He's smelly. He's ugly. He's old. He's fat. He's gross. He's. Like, all of the negative things, like, I couldn't see a single positive thing about him.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm thinking 100% of the time, I'm like, I gotta leave, like, poor doggy, poor me, like, this is not good. Like, everything is, like, negative, negative, negative. And still my head is like, oh, but, you know, he's older, he knows better, he's great with money, and he's... And, like, I know he's shit. Like, I'm, like, telling myself, like, he's shit. He doesn't shower and he's shit with money and he's ruined you financially. And then I'm like, yeah, but he's great. And I'm, like, having, like, this conversation with yourself, it's like,
so
it's...
wild.
Yeah.
Like, the trauma bond is so strong. And, like, you'll be angry and you'll be like, no, that is fucked. And then half an hour later, you'll be like, I wonder what he's doing. It's...
Yes. No, not at all. Like, we have in school, so I started school, but I think we talked about it before that I was going to start school. But anyway, I started school. So in English class, we have a great teacher in English. And we talk about, like, societal stuff. Like, what would you do in certain scenarios?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, domestic violence towards a female, and what would you do if it was towards a male, or if it was racism, or if it was somebody being poor, or like all of these like kind of big questions. Yeah. And one of the topics, you know, there's these videos on YouTube, like, what would you do? They're called What Would You Do?
Those are the worst videos.
They're so bad.
I think they're made for English as a second language. They are the cringiest videos. Like, they're wild, but you can't stop watching them. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Like, it's, I've seen them before class, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Like everybody can tell that this is not real, but then they react so real, and I'm like, is this America, or what's the deal here? What is this? Yeah. And I'm like, in class, we're like, we watch this video and we're supposed to, like, what would you do? And I'm like, domestic violence? Nothing. Like, who in their right mind would do anything? Because that's fucked up. And I know that nobody would do anything, because I know that people have seen me at the airport being, you know, out of myself because he's so fucking mean, and I'm just this tiny little
shell of a human
blonde girl. Yeah, where I'm like, you can tell that I'm in a really dark place with this dude, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'd get a look of like, poor you. Aww, you know?
Poor dog.
Yes. Yes. But that person seeing me in that situation would never ever do anything And if he's yelling at me, people will look at me, they will look at him, but they will never do anything because they know, like, it's just in society, we know that there's nothing you can do, because if that girl is not ready, you're going to make it worse.
I was very hungover. I'd been at a
You trip. Told me that.
Yeah!
I remember you told me. Yeah.
I said it on the podcast.
I hope it went better for her, you know? And I wish, sometimes I'm like, I wish somebody told him off. Like, I remember being in London. No, we were not. We were in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And we were standing all the way at the bottom, taking, like, a picture with, like, the whole football field behind us.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and then he's, like, doing this pose. You know his pose. And the because they're, like, Englishmen, there was an English man taking the picture for us.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? And he's like, what? He's like, stop with the fucking duck face.
So funny.
And I was like, I wanted to laugh so bad because that's 100% him. That's just what he does. He does this fucking duck face in every fucking picture. And he'll make fun of you if you, like, you duck face.
Yes.
Yeah, or if you see anybody else do it. He's like, ah, oh, that's such a European girl thing and duck face and do-do-do-do-do, you know. But what does he do? Like a fucking teenage girl, he's duck facing all his fucking pictures.
They duck face.
Yeah.
Because we blurred out his face, but there are strong duck clips in every image on the thumbnail, guys.
Yes. Like, oh, I wish we can just remove it around his lips so you can see the duck face. Like, it's 100%. We're going to post it. We have to, like, post a picture where it's like.
Just his lips.
We only cut out the lips on all the pictures and put them in one picture.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, like.
Duck lips. I'll do it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I remember, like, I always used to think, like, why does he do that? But I couldn't say anything and nobody else said anything until we met this dude in England and he's like, what the fuck? Why are you duck facing? Like, and I wanted to laugh so bad, but I remember the look he gave me. Like this, the guy taking the picture, he was like a look of like concern. Like he was so concerned for me because he could tell. Like, and I've heard like later on where people are like, oh, you know, I can, from his picture, I can tell he's not a good dude. And I'm like, but how can you? Just because he has dark hair and tattoos, like, it doesn't mean that he's a bad guy. But then again, at the same time, I can see it as well. He has that typical narcissistic look.
A lot of it's in the eyes.
Yes. So if you see the picture, if you see a picture of him without the eyes, you can't really see it.
But you definitely spot a narcissist from their eyes. And if you ever want to know if you're dealing with one, you just watch their pupils when you're talking with them, because their pupils do all kinds of fucked up shit that doesn't correlate with what's happening light-wise in the room. Like, your pupils should dilate if, like, it gets, you know, if it gets dark, they'll dilate, and if it gets light, they'll go smaller. And
yeah.
But the narcissist is because they're in fight or flight mode so constantly because they're worlds could crumble at any point. They their eyes weirdly dilate when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And the light didn't change. There's no reason that your eyes should have. So I always watch eyes. And also because the girl is in fight or flight mode, I think a lot of the recognition when you see a girl and you know that she's in danger, it's also in the eyes. Like you can different look, it's pained, but it's in the eyes for both of them.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And I also think that, you definitely need to see the eyes, but also if you if you talk to a narcissist and you give them nothing,
mm-hmm.
if you give them like literal nothing, no important information about yourself, no, like, don't, like, if you don't give them anything, they'll try so hard to get you to give something.
Yes.
And when you don't, they break face. Like,
yes.
When you, if you just keep on giving nothing, it will break and you will see them for who they truly are. Yeah. Like, some of my friends gave him nothing. They weren't susceptible to his narcissism, to his, like, yeah. So he couldn't be fucked dealing with them.
Yes.
So he just let them see his true side.
Yes. And then would just try and isolate you out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bad person. Like, go to you and tell them that this is a shitty friend and they're not on your side.
Friends with those girls from your wild past, if you want
to. Yes. I'm yes.
up to you. I don't think they're a good person.
That's yes. And that's how they do it. Because they can't be fucked dealing with somebody that doesn't give them anything. So then they just, they know they already manipulated you. That's way easier. So why spend energy on this person?
Exactly. They'll just convince you because you're already under the spell that that person.
Yeah. 100%. And the thing is...
No, and actually, Naomi, they don't even have to convince anyone who was like, hey, like when my friend was like, this is not good. And I was like, well, you're out of my life. And the same thing with my mom, like, she gave me that gift. And, you know, the only other thing she told me is once I had a breakdown, remember, and I was like, I feel stuck. And she just, all she said is, not stuck.
And she didn't, yeah.
She didn't elaborate. Like, she did handle it really well.
Yeah.
But, like, fuck, I forgot what I was saying. Like, if she, oh, yeah, that's right. If she had been like, yeah, this is abusive as fuck, I would have cut her off.
Yeah, and I think she knew that.
Yeah, she knew that.
She just needed to let you know that you're not stuck. And that was the right thing to do in the situation. Like, you felt stuck and you needed to hear that you're not stuck. Because you needed to hear that your mum was there, but nothing more, nothing less. Like, you can't give too much either.
And he also creates an environment where you can't tell anyone what's going on. And that is, like, one thing to look for. And if they're like, are you telling your friends about this? And you're like,
well, yes.
People talk to their friends about their general relationship issues.
Yep.
My sister 100%. Talked about my brother and how lazy he is last night. Like, that's normal. If you, like, the only reason that I shouldn't be able to complain about my relationship is not mundane annoyance in a relationship, and you can't have them be known.
Yes. That there's, yeah, and there's, like, there's issues in every relationship without them being narcissistic relationship. Like, it's you know, it might annoy me that my partner doesn't bring the trash downstairs when it's right there, you know, but it annoys him that why do I put the trash in the hallway and not bring it down to the trash, like to the trash cans. It's like such normal things and normal conversations and normal things that annoy you, that it's, for me, it's good to talk to you about it. Like, oh, it's so annoying when he does this and that, it's such a typical man thing, and like they do it as well, and it's great, like, because you need to get that frustration out.
Yes.
When you're with a person like Dick, you can never say stuff like that.
You can't,
because
happening, because if you did, they'd be like, first of all, you already know, they're like, why are you with him? So if you were to share any information of what it's actually like, not what
yeah.
they're allowed to see, they would even more be like, what? Like, what? And you can't explain that you're trauma bonded. And
no.
So it's like,
because you don't know.
So you just are in this, like, the thing is, like, when they're like, don't, like, it should be normal to be able to complain about your relationship and that the other person be like, are you safe? And the only reason why you can't talk to someone is because you're obviously not safe. And he's like, if anyone is like, why are you talking to your friends about our relationship? That is the biggest red flag. About their relationship to their friends. And if you can't, it means it's so dark that you can't even put that.
It's just, it's normal to talk about these things. And like my partner, he's like, he's even told me like 100 times, like, oh, what do you and Caitlin talk about? Did you talk about me? You know, because, and he'll ask after I was like, if I'm annoyed with him, you know, and he's like, I'm okay with it. Like, I know you talk about me because you need to get it out. And he's like, I can be, you know, I can be very hard to live with sometimes. And it can be frustrating. And I know that about myself as well. I'm not the easiest human being. I think we all are. We all have our things.
Yeah.
But it's normal. But once you're told it's not normal, once you're told you need to portray this relationship as this, like, perfect picture, then something's fucked up. Like, and if you have a friend that does that, if you have a friend that is like, oh, we don't have those issues and it's great and it's amazing, and you can like feel that they're not telling you that, like if you can tell they can't even tell you that it annoys them that he doesn't take the trash out,
right,
then that's a fucked up relationship.
Exactly. Because it should be because, very be annoyed about that.
Yeah. And then it's allowed and it's so normal that
he was very like, don't talk to anyone about us. And then like, I had to fix it up, like when I did finally admit to Anne, which like, sorry for saying, like a lot of when you are sort of trauma bond, like one of the first times was when I
You're cutting out.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now it's better.
Okay. It was when I admitted to Anne, like, that we weren't having sex. But then I had to, like, lie to her after that because I couldn't, like, she was like...
You had to, like, backtrack it.
Well, I was like, no, we fixed it.
Mm.
And she's like, even when we got married, she was like, did you consummate the marriage last night? And I was like, yep. And she's like, okay. Like, and you could tell... And she, like, we've messaged after. And she's like, yeah, no, I'm obvious that that wasn't fixed. But, like, I felt like I was, like, I couldn't. Because what it is it doesn't make any sense why you're still there. And you don't even know why you're still there. Like, why? I have to sleep on the floor. And hit me, and stand up straight. It logs my food. And I have to wake him up with a back rub and fruit. Or the right back rub done. The right sort of, like. The level of abuse that I lived with, like, tell someone what's happening at home, then the obvious question is, why are you there? And you don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
No, it's so true, because you just don't know. Like, there is no... I'm trying to think if I was ever asked, like, why are you with him?
Not directly, probably.
No. If anybody said anything, I would always defend him.
Always.
And I remember Sorry?
I would say nobody loves me like he does. He treats me like a princess. He spoils me.
He spoils me, 100%.
You could only see the dick that I see.
Yes.
Which is like, if you only could.
If only I could. If only, like, I'm telling myself, if you could only see the dick I see. And I'm like, ugh. If I could only see the dick they see, because they see the true him, not me.
And they don't even know a quarter of it.
Not even scratching the surface. Like... Yeah.
Yeah, but I would always defend him. And I remember if I ever told him that I defended him, I'm like, yeah, but if we had a fight and whatever,
yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, but as soon as my sister said anything about you, I defended you straight away. I always defend you. I'm always on your team and I'm always on your page. You know?
Yeah.
Then he's like, you shouldn't have to defend me to your family.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm like, no matter what you do, like, it's never right. Like, you can't, you get to a certain point in the relationship where there's nothing you can do and it would never be right.
God.
And it's so fucked up because you feel so stuck. You can't defend him, but you can't not defend him. And like, there's so many cracks in your facade where it's like everybody can see through it, but you can't see through it yourself. So you're like painting over, like trying to like hide it while everyone can see it, and you're just not, I don't know, I truly believe that it takes meeting the right person to get out of it. And I'm not talking about like romantically meeting the right person.
No.
I'm talking about like meeting, having the right friend, or if it's your mum or a godparent or a colleague, or it doesn't matter. It's about meeting that one person that says the things like, Caitlin, you're not stuck. Yeah. Or that one person that never makes an issue out of anything, no matter how shitty of a friend you're being, they understand that this is not you. They know that this is him. Yeah. They know that you're being manipulated. Yeah. And they never make an issue out of it. They never talk shit about him. You never have to defend him.
Yep.
It's just good. And that person, that's the person that saves you.
Yes.
Because that's how you know you're being treated like shit. Because you don't have to defend him to these people.
Yep.
But you just know that they see him the way that you see him.
That when you're with this safe person, you're not spending your entire time talking about how good they are or defending the person.
Yeah.
When you're with this person, it's unspoken. They know they're never going to say, you're never going to admit it to them. But you can have coffee, talk about life outside of your abuser, which never, because your entire life. And so for those brief moments, you get a glimpse of what it might be like if you
didn't. Yeah. Because they act, these people act so normal. They make you're in the midst of like this chaotic life where your life is just, it's like going 110. It's like it's a mess, and you can't keep track, and you have to defend him, and he's so nice, and it's like your brain, you're just surviving. All you do is survive. You're in hell. And then you get to spend time with this person, like drinking coffee, and they make you feel so normal.
Yes.
They make you feel so like safe and normal, and you can finally just sit down and have this coffee, and your life is not chaotic, and you don't have to defend anything, and you can just talk about what.
That was Anne for me. And not in that his best friend's partner, not in that she wasn't a safe place, because she knew things and protected me in a way. Like with the smoking, she knew I smoked, and she never told her partner, because I think back in the back of her brain she knew. And she never, ever, and they told each other everything, you know. So she had things like that. But with Anne, it was that she knew he was a piece of shit because she'd known him since he was younger, right? Because they'd been traveling together. She'd known him for years. She'd seen girlfriends come in and out. And so she knew, she saw me, and she'd invite me up and we'd have coffee. And if I needed to use her phone every 5 minutes to text him, because I wasn't allowed to buy credit, that I had to stay in constant communication, like you said, weird tests like that. It wasn't even a question. There was no, why do you need to do this? It was just use the phone. It was normal.
Yeah. There was no question of why do you, it's not normal to message him, and it's not like, why does he have to keep track on you? And like, she didn't care. She just let you.
Yeah.
She let it be, and you knew it was wrong, and she knew that it was wrong, but it's about feeling normal with that person. And it's like that one person where your life is not just a mess.
Yes. And you know, with Karen, when like her partner would lose it and she would have to leave work events or whatever, like, I think I provided some normalcy for her then too, because she, I was sort of the only one who she could be like, oh, he's fucking losing it. And I would be like, all right, let's pack up. Like, I was just like, and let's sneak in one more cig on the way home. You know, like, I was like, let's have fun. And it's just, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You need that normal friend to, like, I don't know, to get your head on the ground.
Yeah.
To, like, you need to get grounded.
Grounded, yeah.
And that's when you get to break out of it. So if you have a friend that is in a fucked up relationship, be that friend that
just provides somewhere that they don't have to be acting or surviving.
Yeah, just be that safe space. Grab that coffee and talk about, you know, the weather and
nothing
and
to do with their partner. Don't mention the partner.
Ever. And don't ever, like, if they do tell you, if they confide in you and tell you, like, oh, I hate it, like, if I'm that friend and you were in a relationship like that, if you came to me and you were like, oh, I hate it when he doesn't take the trash out, it'd be like, yeah, me too, my partner doesn't as well, and it's such a man thing to do, you know. I make you feel normal with the stuff that is normal.
Yeah.
Not like if you were to tell me, like, he hit me, I would never make you feel that that's normal.
But provide a place of normal friendship where she doesn't.
Yes. Yes. Where they can be themselves and just talk to you when they're ready. And yeah, when they are ready, just listen. Advise this or that, and why are you with him, and nah, you're gonna ruin the relationship, you're gonna ruin the friendship if you say anything like that. Just be there, just be supportive.
Keep the mindset that this is a victim, like with
Karen, yes,
like, I'm so dumb, how did this happen to me? And I'm like, no, and that's the same thing of like, why'd you stay this long? Like, none of that matters.
They don't ask that. Yeah, so why'd you, like, stay?
I'm like, no. You were abused for years.
Yeah.
You were abused for years. Full stop, end of sentence.
Let them know that they're safe with you. Let them know that it's okay. And let them know that it's not their fault. Let them, be that safe place. Yeah. If you're that safe friend, they will always come back to you. And you're going to have to deal with listening to it. Maybe for like a full year, you have to be that friend, knowing that your friend is in a shit relationship, being abused. Just be that friend, be that safe place, because they need that time.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't just wake up one day and be like, I'm going to leave in the middle of the night. It doesn't happen like that. It takes time. It
takes a lot of time.
And courage. And planning. Mentally preparing.
Now, Naomi, I am almost at work, so I'm going to let go. But I just,
no problem,
as a side note, before we end this podcast,
mm,
as much as it is a normal male thing, They have eyes, and they can see as much as we can when the trash needs to be taken out. The world is normal, and we will complain and say that's normal. At the same time, burn the...
Just take out the fucking trash.
At the same time,
don't... Yeah. 100%. Don't be that douchebag. If you're a male listening, don't be that douchebag that just leaves it. Just take out the trash.
Yeah. I'm so, like, therapy is so good of me, like, because now I'm, like, learning, like, well, on that blame, or don't fix it, because I used to get really scared and fix it, right? And so, like, last
year
I was traveling for work, and Ty was like, none of the pants are done for school. And I'm like, okay, well, sounds like you didn't set yourself up for success this morning. Like,
I think
that's my problem. I'm not even at the house. Like,
I'm not there. It's your responsibility. Right. You.
Not, like, obviously not the same as a dick scenario, but, like,
no.
It's important for me to be like, no, that's not
It's
my
about
fault.
The mental load. It's about the mental load.
Yeah. And freeing yourself of taking on. I think part of the problem, not the problem, but part of what's hard of in healing through this in a new relationship is that it is easy just to fix things because in the past that's what you did. And,
yes.
And it's a lot of trauma. For a long time, I didn't even realize what was happening. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, when Ty is like, why do you lose your shit when I touch the door handle? Oh, because I used to get locked in a room.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. For years, I was like, I don't know, but can you not fucking do it? And he's like, what? Like, so, yeah, anyway. I am at work. They'll pick this up and make this maybe more regular because someone's going to have some maternity leave soon. And the time.
Yes. And I'm going to be up all night, so I need something to do. I'm going to be on your schedule.
No, you will be.
But, yeah, we need at least one episode about, like, you know, Australia versus Norway and how the victims are treated. And then there was another one I was thinking about with, like, we need an episode with, what was it? I just thought about it. Like, yeah, I want to talk about, like, this new treatment that I'm in. Remember I talked about, yes, like, the EMDR? I'm like, I'm finally in that treatment. And it's, like, harsh. I haven't even talked to you about it on Messenger. Have I?
No, not yet.
No, like, because you don't even know anything about it. But it's
all,
like,
right, well, next episode, let's talk about that. Let's open it with EMDR.
Yeah, because it's, like, so hard, but, like, so amazing at the same time. Like, I'm learning so much stuff. Like, it's crazy.
All right.
You have a great day. I'm going to bed.
You have a great sleep, and I will talk to you tomorrow. And welcome back, everyone. And congratulations, Naomi. We can't a little silent.
Thank you. I'll edit tomorrow, by the way.